This is an ABC podcast.
Welcome to Nandi, ladies and gentlemen. The local time here now is 3 minutes past three. We do ask you to remain seated until that seatbelt sign has been turned off.
I've never been to Fiji before. It's which is not very typically Australian of me, is it? We were the highest cohort of visitors to the Pacific nation in 2022. Historically, we've been Fiji's biggest tourist market. But I'm here to discover a Fiji that, well, that doesn't cater to tourists.
Have a courteous indoors and cross check.
It's the Fiji that you might have seen on Survivor, but Love Island, The Bachelor, or a string of blockbuster Hollywood films. This fast becoming one of the world's top filming locations. I want to understand how that's happened and what it means.
Attention.
I'm Jonathan Green. This is Return Ticket, the show that transports you to familiar places done differently. In this series, we'll live with no limits in Monaco, search for truth from the hilltops of Rio de Janeiro, and we'll certainly not be sleepless in Seattle. But now, finding Fiji's new reality. I don't need to tell you, Fiji is beautiful. To get here, you need to fly into Nandi, on the west coast of Fiji's main island, Viti Levu. It's the island from which Fiji gets its name, and this city houses Fiji's international airport. As you can imagine, it's decked out for the tourist gaze. Billboards promoting the natural beauty of this place, they abound. And I can see why Fiji water has taken off. Because of this, Nandi is the transport node for the resort traveller. But it's also many other things. It's also Fiji's hub for Hinduism and Islam. And Nandi is home to a large Indo-Fijian population. In fact, it's got the largest Hindu temple in the Southern Hemisphere. How about that? But more on that later. For now, I'm in search of something else entirely. Do the words outwit, outlast, outplay, do they mean anything to you? In recent years, Survivor US has decided to make Fiji's pristine shores its home base. And with each new season, hundreds of Fijians are employed. Millions of dollars come into the peripheral businesses associated with that filming. In 2021 alone, two seasons of Survivor were reported to have brought in $25 million of direct local investment. And I've been put in contact with, well, a Survivor alumnus. His name is Lunza Coffin, a camera operator by training, and he's invited me to visit him at a new studio he set up in Nandi. Here we are, coming up now. Oh, thank you.
Hi, Jonathan, how are you?
Hi, Lunza. I'm well, thank you. Thanks for inviting me into your studio, and tell me, what exactly do you do with this space?
So we've set up this space mainly at the moment as a service provider for visuals, film equipment-wise and crew-wise.
Okay, and your big break, was that something to do with Survivor US?
This was probably about close to 8 years ago now. I started off as a dream teamer, and a dream teamer is basically a production assistant, and you're attached to the art department. But what Survivor does in particular is, when you're attached to the art department, you also get the opportunity to shadow any department you have an interest in. So in my particular case, I had an interest in cameras. So I was given the opportunity to shadow the camera department and later on get to assist in setting up the cameras and running the cameras. And then I got asked one fortunate day to whether or not I wanted to operate. And that goes across the board from the lighting department to the art department to electrics to prop making, the whole lot.
It's a big impact that show makes on Fiji. I mean, they're quite a presence.
Yes, 100%. I mean, the size of the show, if you were to look at it, it would be the scale of a big Hollywood film. Well, it's a small little city down there on the island. You have anything from builders to electricians to carpenters to painters. You're looking at probably 500 to 600 plus people.
So how does this translate into a sort of a Fiji industry?
Given my experience, I believe we have the expertise to be able to put a show together. But there's still that creative side in trying to write a show or to script it and adapt a story, for instance, for TV.
Is that sort of one of the holes?
Yes. Yes. Those stories have been told to us for generations, and it's only through either written word or spoken by people older, you know, like you're sitting around having a chat with your granddad or extended family, and you hear about these myths and legends.
Give me an example. What's an old story like that in your mind you'd love to see on the screen?
Well, like there's one in particular. There's a famous one here in Fiji about the shark god Dakawanga. Where my mum is from, the island of Kandavu, they have a shark god of their island, which is an octopus. Now, the shark god, he's quite jealous and, you know, he's quite contentious and he wants to be the top god. So he goes up and challenges the octopus, but ends up being defeated. It's common knowledge that anyone from the island of Kandavu, whose god is the octopus, if they're swimming in the waters, they have no fear of being bitten by a shark.
See, the Marvel Universe has got nothing on that.
No. Well, there are some similarities, you know. There are some similarities across lore. I mean, if you look at the Norse mythology that they've adapted to that, then there are compelling stories to be told. And like I said, there's not a lot known apart from what's already out there and what's out there at the moment. I mean, you look at the stuff that's come out lately is an animated film called Moana.
Yes. Well, a great challenge, those stories. They need to be told.
Exactly, yes.
And I don't know, is there a future for someone like me in Fiji film? Could I do a test?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You just have to step over these cameras lying on the ground. But yeah, definitely, they'll bring out the green screen and roll the cameras, for sure.
Let's do it.
And here we go. Rolling sound, play.
Throughout their time on the island, tribes will compete in a series of challenges. Lose, face tribal council, where you must vote one member off the island.
How'd I do?
Cut!
Excuse me. I caught the bus over from Nandi to Suva, Fiji's capital. It's only 3.5 hours by road between the two cities, and, well, I thought a flight might be, well, decadent. Plus, it was a great way to sightsee along Viti Levu's southern coast. Tropical paradise vistas stretching as far as the eye can see. You know, white sandy beaches, turquoise blue waters, verdant green mountains atop the horizon, all of that. And it's these vistas which have become, well, quite popular for foreign film and TV productions, shows like Love Island, Bachelor in Paradise. They've used Fiji to create the visual palette for escapist fantasy. And who wouldn't want to fall in love on a tropical island?
And Jonathan, who have you chosen to be the recipient of your rose tonight?
It's... Anyway, let's not get carried away. I'm here on a mission to find out how Fiji's managed to make itself competitive in such a globalised, cutthroat industry. One of the things that helps, of course, is a 20% tax rebate that's given to foreign screen productions. To get that, you have to spend at least 250,000 Fijian dollars on local goods and services and employ locals during filming. Not a bad deal if you've got big studio bucks behind you. To find out how this works in practice, I'm heading to the offices of Film Fiji, the country's state screen body, to meet CEO Ramiro Tenorio. Ah, Ramiro, gosh, you're a busy man. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for coming all the way out to our office and taking time to talk to us.
It's beautifully air-conditioned in here, so that's one thing.
It's pretty hot out there at the moment. I'm sure you've been sweating walking down the sewer street.
Yes, I'm drenched. Sorry about this seat. Can we start with scale? Fiji is not a big country, but here it is competing in this globalized screen industry. How's that happened?
The first thing that Fiji has is in a unique position in terms of the pristine locations that Fiji has, and that really is attractive for productions from all over the world. Right now, the scene is pretty much a global one in terms of whenever a production is looking for a tropical destination or tropical location, they look all over the world. And a few other unique qualities. So there's a low density of population, which means that it's easy to have that kind of remote look without having to travel all that far. You always have good infrastructure to support you in terms of hotels and transportation and internet and overall accessibility. English is one of the three official languages in Fiji, so that also makes it easier for productions to come.
Comfortable remoteness is quite a selling point.
It is.
And that local industry you speak about, is it a tight-knit scene?
I would say so, yes, and just bear in mind that when we're talking about the industry, we have two ways of looking at it. You have what it's called the film service side of things, which is of the teams that work with foreign productions coming in, and then you have the local filmmakers creating their own content, right? So in terms of servicing, which is one of the aspects that we work with a lot in promoting Fiji to get productions to come to our coastlines and forests and rivers, and it's probably a relatively small group, but enough to service the entirety of the industry at the moment. We hope that the industry is going to continue to grow, so obviously we have to go through that growth and adding talented and skilled people to the industry.
Now we see these beautiful places, and as you say, it's a double benefit, isn't it, of both the film industry but also to attract tourists, to people who want to see those exquisite places.
Yes, it is, and I think it's also important to note that when a production starts working within a specific location, they usually work with the surrounding villages because of the communal way of living in Fiji. The economic effect or economic impact that a production has when they produce in a specific location goes well beyond anything that you could imagine from a foreigner perspective, in the sense that kind of more of a communal approach to exchange, the impact flows quickly within the community and not only the specific people that are working on the show.
Wonderful thing. Ramiro, thank you. What a great primer on the Fiji screen industry. And speaking of screens, do you have a favorite cinema in Suva? I wouldn't mind popping in to take in a film.
Well, if you're looking to access a film, I would recommend that you, once you leave our office, you're going to turn left and you're going to walk down to the Damodar Cinemas in downtown. And I think you're going to have a very fun experience. Try and look for a film that's going to have enough of an audience, and you're going to see that people in Fiji are very... They participate of the film and they react to it, and it's a very unique experience.
I want to see that. I'm ready to get involved, Ramiro. Thank you. Thank Ramiro later for that recommendation. Date in the city's local independent cinema. It's a great way to get a quick read on the place. So, of course, I popped down to the Damodar Cinemas here in central Suva. I didn't realise there'd be quite so much of Bollywood in Suvan cinemas. But, of course, there's the Indo-Fijian population. Now, if you recall the origins of migration to Fiji from the Indian subcontinent, it wasn't exactly done freely. In the late 19th century, British colonisers brought over indentured labourers from South Asia to work on Fiji's sugarcane plantations. And by the middle of the 20th century, well, Indo-Fijians made up the majority of Fiji's population. But since the 1980s, numbers have been in decline. And today, they make up around 37.5%. of the population here in Fiji, which at last count was 947,000 people. And it's been in this city where contests about what Fiji is and for whom it is have taken place. A few coups have been staged here alongside some inter-ethnic riots. But I can't help but wonder where that social history, where does that live on screen? To be fair, Fiji's relationship to screen itself is still incredibly young. Get this, TV was first introduced to Fiji in 1991. They only had about a decade until reality TV became the dominant form of TV production. So perhaps it's time to call in a favour from one of Fijian screen's elder statesmen. His name is Larry Thomas. He has many feathers in his cap. He's a documentary maker, a playwright and theatre director who's been producing Fijian stories for decades. He is the real deal. And I've been invited to his office at the University of the South Pacific here on the eastern waterfront of Suva. Larry, thank you for meeting me outside of classes. It's really appreciated.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, and you're such a well-credentialed person to talk about Fiji's screen industry.
Well, I don't know about that, but thank you anyway.
How did things change in Fiji around screen culture with TV, which of course came quite late to Fiji?
Very late. You know, it all started with the World Cup rugby. Because we, as you know, we're all, you know, rugby fanatics here. We've just come out of the coup of 1987. This was around 1990. And we had the Minister of Information, which had, you know, a video section. And so from video, we graduated to TV. I remember distinctly, it was run from the Ministry of Information by the principal information officer who would read the news. And so from a few hours a day to now 24 hours a day. So yes, we've transformed considerably, but not so considerably, if you know what I mean.
What do you mean by the not so?
Well, to begin with, we don't even have our own TV series. And we rely a lot on the imported series from, you know, the US, Australia, New Zealand, and particularly from Asia, from Korea, from the Philippines, from India. You know, these soaps are very, very popular. But also, you know, we struggle to make really good programs. Now, one could argue, well, we make local programs all the time, which includes news. And so the argument, of course, from the TV stations that news is a program. Yes, news is a local program. What I'm talking about are in-depth programs. And we do have them. But, you know, these are programs to fill the time slots. Huh? And, you know, not to belittle what's being done, the issue just comes down to funding and the time to make these programs. Huh?
The paradox in all of that is, of course, that Fiji has become a global filming hub, that it is the place where so much of the world makes its TV and film content.
Well, you know, we espouse this image of paradise. Huh? And yes, it is a paradise, even if I say so. And having, not only because I'm from here, but I've traveled, I've seen the beauty. But like in any place, there's also the not so beautiful. There is a great dichotomy of the paradise and the reality. So on one hand, we We have this image of where happiness finds you, but we deal with our own happiness, call it what you may here. I mean, generally, you know, well, we don't have a choice. We have to survive, and we laugh at our own misfortune. But at the same time, on the other hand, you have this image of the tourists come to the brochures show, and for producers from the US and from other parts of the world, this is perfect. But also because the government has the inducement it offers is attractive to bring them, and because tourism, that's our main, you know, main staple.
I wonder if there's a bit of a tension in a culture that is, as you suggested, depends so much on presenting itself as paradise to the world, to then turn inward and tell some of its perhaps less comfortable home truths, those home stories. Is that a tension within all sorts of storytelling cultures, I guess, within Fiji, but film in particular?
Yes. So as I was saying earlier, so, you know, we have this dichotomy of the image to the tourists, but you know, you can come to Denarau, or you can come to the Asawas, you arrive and you leave and you know nothing about the country other than meeting the locals who serve you at the hotel, who are very friendly, nice people, and they are, there's no doubt about that. But when you look inward, these are our stories of drugs, of ice, of amphetamines, of marijuana, and young people who are suffering from that, of rape, of young girls, of incest. It's horrible. And gender-based violence is way up there. And these are our stories. And the irony is, of course, Jonathan, is that we want to hear our own stories. So we want to see ourselves on the screen, people of color, telling our stories. Yes, we enjoy what we see, you know, of the Marvel universe and what comes out of Europe and Australia and New Zealand, but they're not our stories. Granted, these are universal themes, but we want to hear stories of, you know, Josefa and, you know, Sakuntala living here and telling their stories, because it resonates with us. And when it resonates with us, we can experience that. And when we can experience that, we know that we are not alone in our own misery, so to speak, and that's being really harsh, but in our environment, that there are people who are also going through the same issues and problems as we are.
It's a tremendously important thing. Larry, thank you. Thank you for such clarity and honesty. Thank you.
Thank you. Pleasure.
So I've made it back to my hotel in Suva. I'm zonked. There's a beautiful choir singing in the courtyard. I'm just going to keep the windows open. That is gorgeous. But as I settle in, everything I've learnt today seems to be crystallising. I flicked through the channels on the TV just a little while ago, and what I saw was the best of the West. Neighbours, Home and Away, Shortland Street, you know, the usual reality TV suspects. But when you're in a place far away from home, you want to discover the richness of life there. Like this choir. I'd pay for Lanza's Marvel rifle adaptation of the Fijian tale of Dakawanga, the shark god. Move over, Moana. But I understand the screen is not an easy industry to participate in. It's expensive, time-intensive, and requires skilled workers that studios in Sydney or Hollywood can easily lure over. But things are happening. In 2023, Film Fiji will run development programs for local scriptwriters and film producers, and the EU has pitched in €140,000 to get this happening. And since last year, all Fijian secondary schools have been offered classes in scriptwriting, filmmaking, documentary making, done in collaboration with AFTERS, the Australian Film, Television and Radio School. So, I've got my fingers and toes crossed that Fiji can harness the global screen's interest in it beyond its pretty vistas. A lot's happened here since TV was first introduced in 1991. So let's see what the next 30 years will bring.
Attention, passengers.
You've been listening to Return Ticket. You heard from Lunza Coffin, Ramiro Tenorio and Larry Thomas. Producers are Alan Whedon and Rachel Bongiorno. Special thanks to Joe Sullivan. Technical production and musical theme by Brendan O'Neill. Executive producer is Rhiannon Brown. Tell your friends how much you've enjoyed the show. Till next time, I'm Jonathan Green.
Listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.